For Illinois Edition, I'm Rachel Otwell. The Lit Review podcast is a new effort out of Chicago. Activists Paige May and Monica Trinidad are the founders and co-hosts. Each week, they plan on talking with fellow activists and organizers about books relevant to Black history, gender, political theory, and more. Trinidad joins me now to talk more about it.
I was born and raised in Chicago on the far east side, South Chicago area, and I've been organizing for about 10 years now. Mostly got started doing anti-military recruitment on campus. I went to University of Illinois at Chicago, and then sort of made my way through anti-war organizing, and then got into doing a lot of work around anti-police violence work in Chicago. Paige and I met. We've known each other since 2014, and we sort of commenced our friendship by going to the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland, with a group called We Charge Genocide. It was a grassroots intergenerational effort in Chicago, challenging police violence, but being led by and centering those most directly impacted, so young Black people in Chicago. And so we traveled to the United Nations, basically charging the U.S. with genocide alongside six other young Black organizers in November of 2014. And since then, we've just been working on a lot of different campaigns and efforts and direct actions together in Chicago. And we're just super big book nerds. And we were just like, you know, in this moment when Trump was elected, there was, you know, just a lot of shock and a lot of organizers just sort of reevaluating and re-strategizing what is necessary and what is needed right now in this moment. And so there was a sense of urgency that was going around all of our communities. And, you know, within this sort of push for urgency and action, you know, we were sort of being like, okay, we need to sort of slow down a little bit because urgency doesn't always mean immediate, spontaneous, direct actions. It can mean, you know, buckling down and doing a lot more political education and movement and learning movement history and learning what strategies and tactics have been utilized in the past to bring those forward and use those in this moment. Because this moment is not new, right? It's something that we've been experiencing for a long time. And it's definitely a response to the work that we've been doing on grassroots levels nationwide. And so we were like, as organizers, we just didn't have time to sort of, you know, read all of these important books that we're naming. And so we wanted to start a podcast series where we interviewed different community members and organizers about books. And that's sort of how we were just like, let's do it. We have no equipment and we have no idea how to do this, but let's do it.
And so I was, you kind of just answered one of my questions, but, you know, when it comes to being activists, why the literature focus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned in our episode zero where we talk about our relationship to books. I didn't grow up with books, and so I've always been really insecure about just, you know, my inability to finish books or my inability to understand a lot of books that, you know, a lot of people in my organizations and in my community, you know, sort of live by, and which makes a lot of sense because they seem like brilliant books, but I just have a hard time. And so we wanted to sort of name these inaccessibilities like financial and academic jargon and low literacy rates in a lot of our communities and time barriers. And we just wanted to sort of tackle that, right? And just sort of make books accessible to the masses. It's so necessary to keep picking up books and reading them, but we also know the inaccessibility, so we want to just have that extra resource for people as supplemental to picking up books, right? Because I know that, for instance, our next episode is Black Reconstruction in America, which is this massive book, right? It's huge, but it's sworn by so many of my mentors and other fellow organizers as like the most important critical book you have to read to understand, you know, Black history and what it means to be Black in America. And I'm just like, there's no way I'm going to have time to read that. And two, it just feels so, I just don't understand it. And so being able to have this extra resource of somebody talking through the book especially like key concepts in vocabulary and bringing out key information from these books is going to be really important for me and other people to just to help inform the work that we're doing right now.
What was the name of the book that you said is going to be on the next episode?
Yeah, the next book is Black Reconstruction in America, and it's by W.E.B. Du Bois.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about contemporary works, but obviously also works from the past then as well.
Definitely. Definitely.
So we're going to play a preview of the Lit Review podcast episode 2 about the book you just mentioned. Our listeners will hear your guests, Nathan Ryan of Grassroots Collaborative and Debbie Southorn of the People's Response Team.
The focus of it was on the role that Black people played in Reconstruction. And it really, I think, just overall gives a really good historical picture of just Reconstruction generally. It was written in the middle of the 1930s, so, you know, kind of almost immediately after Reconstruction, there was a lot of kind of propaganda and, you know, fight over, like, you know, what the Civil War meant, what Reconstruction meant. W.B. Du Bois, really, like, this is probably one of the, you know, most detailed scholarly descriptions of Reconstruction, and so I think it's really excited to be talking about it.
And when I, just to add to that, when I picked it up, I don't know if I could honestly say I knew what Reconstruction was. Very quickly,
what,
I was like,
What is Reconstruction?
Yeah, it was the period after the Civil War. Okay. So this huge, massive crisis, social upheaval just happened where, like, I mean, like, we can't even imagine. Social change, like, we can't even imagine. A Civil War, like, 4 million previously enslaved Black folks are no longer, quote unquote, enslaved. And the whole country has to kind of like shift and figure out how power is going to be laid out in the next period. And so that period is Reconstruction. I think it's really important in part because it was like, it could have been so much. You know, we know that the time periods after crisis are when change happens. And so that was helpful to just learn, oh, this is what it was. And the book also deals with the Civil War and gives a perspective of the Civil War that I think we don't learn in regular history classes. That's really important. And then, like Nathan pointed out, this is written in the 1930s. And when Du Bois wrote it, it was during segregation. The only other texts that legitimately, like, existed about Reconstruction all said it was a failure. Mm. Black people with political power was a failure, and it didn't work. They were almost all written by overt white supremacists. Mm-hmm. And here's this Black guy who's like, you know what, screw you. I'm going to write a different history. I'm going to go into these libraries you don't want me to go into. I'm going to access these historical records you don't want me to access. And I'm going to write a text that completely throws that on its head and says, you know what? There may have been some massive failures, and there were some pretty fucking incredible things that did happen, and we have to recognize those.
Yeah, I mean, the amazingly different conclusions when you assume that Black people are equal and not racially inferior to white people, you get a very different history when you write from that perspective. You really, really brought that to the table. You know, which is, you know, so much happened during Reconstruction. It is really amazing to me that, you know, we don't learn more about it in school. So, you know, from Reconstruction period, you get the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. It sets the relationship for, you know, what is the state's relationship to the federal government? You know, who has power in our federal government? And, you know, so much of really, like, the underpinnings of our political system are set up during this time.
This book really... it's graphic. It's really hard to read, a lot of it. It describes massacres. It describes slavery in detail. It describes the actions of the Ku Klux Klan not as, like, this sort of ethereal thing out there that we know they exist and do bad things, but it explains the ways that they used force and graphic, brute violence en masse to disenfranchise.
This is Illinois Edition. That was a segment of a new podcast on Black history and social movements, all considered through the lens of literature. It's the Lit Review Podcast. I'm speaking with one of the hosts and co-founders, Monica Trinidad. Monica, I want to play the intro for your podcast and then ask if you can talk a little bit more about how you plan to fulfill that mission.
You are listening to The Lit Review, a podcast where organizers interview organizers about books. In this moment of urgency, mass political education is key. We recognize that political study is not always accessible for a variety of reasons. Our goal with The Lit Review is to be a resource that brings out key information from relevant books to the masses. Think SparkNotes in podcast form. I'm one of your hosts, Paige May, and thank you for listening to The Lit Review.
Just the variety of people we're going to be talking to, right? I think that that is really going to bring out the best of the political education that is needed. A lot of the folks that we're interviewing, I mean, they all have different modes of learning and different types of analysis and theories of change that they're coming at organizing with. And so I think it's really critical to hear from these people. Like, for instance, the episode we'll be interviewing Debbie Southhorn, who is my partner, but who is also an amazing organizer in Chicago, working with the Chicago Child Care Collective, Black and Pink Chicago, and the People's Response Team, right? And so also we'll also be interviewing Nathan Ryan, who's part of the Grassroots Collaborative. And so I just know that both of those, you know, those organizations all come from different sort of backgrounds and perspectives and theories of change. And so it'll just be really amazing to hear these two organizers and activists talk together about this specific book. And then we'll also be speaking with B-Low, for example, who's another amazing organizer in Chicago. And he'll be talking about Rules for Revolutionaries, How Big Organizing Can Change Everything, by Becky Bond and Zach Exley. And we'll also be talking with Hoda Ketebi, who is a member of For the People Artists Collective, and she'll be talking about Orientalism by Edward Said. And so I just think that all of these different individuals that will be coming through the podcast will just be really vital to, one, to understanding the books, but two, just sometimes you need different people to explain something to you. And if one person explained it to you and you don't get it, sometimes I feel like if another person explains it, and you might understand it because they're coming at it from a different perspective and a different method of explaining. And so I'm really excited about hearing from different people about these books.
Great. And it seems like this is, you know, a lot of podcasts that people know about come out of public radio stations, but this really seems like a more sort of grassroots effort.
Yeah, definitely. We have no money. We have no money, and we're doing this just with our computers and just sort of doing it in our own living rooms. And and I think that that's sort of a lot of the ways that I organize, and a lot of other people that I organize with work within these grassroots methods. And it works. It's a little bit extra work, but it works.